Well, hello, friends, and thanks for joining me for another weekly episode of the Money Girl Podcast. My name is Laura Adams. I'm a personal finance author, speaker, and spokesperson who's been writing and hosting this show since 2008. My most recent book, Debt-Free Blueprint, How to Get Out of Debt and Build a Financial Life You Love, is available. You can get it as a paperback or ebook wherever books are sold. And if you love listening, and many podcast listeners do love listening instead of reading, you might want to hear me narrate it. You can pick up the audiobook version at audible.com. Today's show is going to address the issue of benefits when you leave a job. You know, there's usually some kind of loose ends that have to be tied up before your last day. Some perks that you get in the workplace are going to end right away, but others can continue after you leave or even require you to take some kind of action in order to manage them correctly. No matter if you quit a job or are laid off or even get fired, it's really important to understand your rights and options for getting the most out of health benefits from an old job. But this show is for everyone, even if you don't have a job that offers health benefits. I'm going to cover what happens with common health-related benefits once you're no longer employed, but a lot of the information here will also apply if you get health insurance on your own, you're self-employed, or maybe you want to work for yourself someday. All right, so we're going to talk about three different types of health benefits that you're going to need to manage when you leave a job. And these benefits are going to vary, of course, depending on your industry, the company size, and the preferences of your particular employer. Once you know that you will be moving on from a job, I want to encourage you to talk to your human resources administrator about the benefits that you're eligible for and how you can access them after you leave. There may be a lot more that's available for you than you realize. So let's talk about what you need to know regarding three health-related employee benefits when you're no longer employed. The first is health insurance. And there's no doubt that group health insurance is one of the most valuable benefits you can get as an employee. In general, your policy will extend through the end of the month that you leave a job. For instance, let's say your last day on the job is July 2nd. Your health coverage will likely end at midnight on July 31st. But here are several options that you may have to continue getting health coverage. You might be able to enroll in a spouse's health plan. You may be able to enroll in a parent's health plan. Now, that's only if you're younger than age 26. And of course, if your parent is willing to have you on the policy. You may be able to get free or even low-cost health coverage through Medicaid if you have low income. And if you have low income, you may also qualify for what's called CHIP. That stands for Children's Health Insurance Program. That's for young dependents. And everyone can shop for an insurance plan in the government's health insurance marketplace. I'll talk a little bit more about that. And depending on your income, these options may all be a lot more affordable than opting for COBRA. I'll talk about COBRA in a moment as well. And by the way, you're going to find links to all the resources that I mentioned in the show in the Money Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com. When you're ready to learn more and really get into the nitty-gritty of comparing individual or family health plan prices, there are a variety of ways that you can do that. You can work with an insurance broker, you can use various health insurance websites, or you can go directly to the federal marketplace at healthcare.gov. And there are some states that even have their own marketplaces, but you can still start at healthcare.gov to find out what's available in your state. And if your income is below certain limits, that is based on your family size, you can qualify for a federal subsidy. That will reduce your healthcare premiums for any of the plans that you buy in the marketplace. But here's what you need to take into consideration. Open enrollment for marketplace health plans is limited to a certain time each year. However, if you do lose your group coverage at work, that's one of several life events that qualify you for a special enrollment period, or SEP, which allows you to get coverage at any time during the year. But you've only got 60 days to sign up for a marketplace plan after you lose your insurance at work. So you can't wait. If you lose your job in January, don't think that you can just buy insurance, you know, in July or August. You need to do it within 60 days after you're no longer covered at work. And if you miss this special enrollment deadline, you're not going to be able to get a marketplace plan unless you have another type of qualifying event, such as having a child, getting married, or exhausting your maximum period of COBRA coverage. So let's shift into talking about COBRA continuation coverage. This is the second type of health policy that you need to know about after leaving a job. So COBRA is an acronym. It stands for the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. Even though the name of this law doesn't mention anything about health insurance, and it conjures up some scary images of snakes in baskets, it's actually a good thing. COBRA is not an insurance company. It's not a health plan. What it is a law that gives you the option to continue your employer-sponsored health insurance after you're no longer employed. So instead of having your plan canceled at the end of the month you leave a job, you can use COBRA to continue getting the exact same benefits and choices that you had before you left your company. COBRA protects everyone affected by the loss of group health insurance, and that includes the former employee, his or her spouse, former spouses, and dependent children when certain events occur. So let's say, you know, maybe you're working and your hours get cut, and that means that all of a sudden you're no longer eligible for benefits. Or you get divorced, or you get legally separated from a covered employee, and you find yourself in a situation where you no longer have health insurance. These are all qualifying events that allow you to get COBRA. But there are some situations that you need to know about when COBRA's not going to apply. Let's say if your employer just decides they're not going to offer a health plan anymore, or they go out of business or declare bankruptcy. Those are not situations where you're eligible for COBRA. So in order to get COBRA coverage after you leave a job, you've got to at least have a qualifying group health plan at your job, the old job, and you've got to experience a qualifying event. As I mentioned, it could be losing your job, getting married, etc. Or you've got to be a qualified beneficiary, such as a spouse or a dependent of the former employee. If you're not eligible for regular federal COBRA, many states offer similar programs that are called mini COBRA. To learn more, check with your state's Department of Insurance. Most states have their own website for insurance and can give you a lot more information about what may be available where you live. Now, the only problem with COBRA coverage or even the mini COBRA coverage is that it's temporary. And it can be expensive. Plus, it's only offered when you work for a private company that has at least 20 employees or for a state or local government agency. So if you work for a really small company, I mean, A, you may not even have health insurance, and B, they are not going to offer COBRA coverage. But if you do work for a qualifying employer, in most cases, you can use COBRA coverage to continue your group health insurance for up to 18 months. And if you're disabled, you can get coverage for up to 29 months. If you're a surviving spouse or divorced from a covered employee, COBRA may continue for up to 36 months. So that at least allows you to continue the coverage that you were getting at work. Also, COBRA isn't just for medical coverage. It also applies to dental and vision insurance. As I previously mentioned, it must be identical to the coverage that you were offered at your company before you left. You or your family are entitled to have the same coverage limits, the same copayments and deductibles. While you can't opt for more COBRA coverage, like you can't get a new type of policy, but you can opt for less coverage. For instance, let's say you were enrolled in health, dental, and vision before leaving your job. Well, you could just keep the health plan and discontinue the dental and vision portions. But note that you can't get COBRA for other types of insurance you may have had through your employer, such as a life insurance or disability policy. And unlike other federal benefits, such as the Family and Medical Leave Act, employers don't have to pay for COBRA. In other words, you typically have to pay the full cost plus a 2% administrative charge. Since employers usually pay some amount of the cost of your group health insurance as a company benefit, the price of COBRA can be shockingly high compared to what you previously paid as an employee. And this is something that I would encourage you to try to negotiate. If you're in the middle of negotiating a severance package with your employer, it's worth asking your company to pay your COBRA coverage for a certain period of time. After you leave an employer, you should receive information about your rights to apply for COBRA. You've got to notify your human resources department within 30 days after a qualifying event, such as, you know, getting fired or having a cut in your work hours. You've got 30 days to let them know that you do want to elect COBRA continuation. Your former employer must send you an election notice within 14 days. Then you or your beneficiaries have up to 60 days to decide whether or not to continue the coverage at the quoted price. So what I recommend is that you shop and you compare the cost of COBRA to a private policy through the government marketplace. If you do qualify for a federal subsidy, a marketplace plan might be a whole lot less expensive. But if you've got higher income and you don't qualify for a reduced premium, COBRA might cost about the same or even give you better benefits for the same price. This is something that I recently did when we relocated from Texas to Florida and my husband left his position. We have decided to go with COBRA because shopping the marketplace plan versus COBRA showed that COBRA was actually about the same price and is giving us better benefits for the price. And when COBRA runs out for us in 18 months, we'll formulate another plan. But for now, it's really the best deal. So don't make the mistake of thinking that you're just going to wait and get health insurance after you land your next job. If you get sick or you need a trip to the emergency room, you could end up with a massive bill. It's just not wise to have any gap in coverage. You know, medical debt, it's the number one reason for bankruptcies in the United States. So having health insurance is critical not only for your physical well-being, but also for your personal finances. Okay, the third health benefit that you're going to need to manage after leaving a job is a health savings account, or HSA. So you're eligible for this tax-advantaged account when you're already enrolled in an HSA-qualified high-deductible health plan. And the good news is that an HSA is portable. That means you own the account no matter if you leave your company or where you get your insurance. The funds in the account, including amounts that may have been contributed by your old employer, are yours to spend on eligible medical expenses. And you can continue using the account and spending out of it for your qualified expenses for you and your family, even if you don't have a high deductible health plan anymore or you're uninsured. But if you spend HSA money on non-qualified medical expenses, the amount will be taxed as income, plus you must pay an additional 20% penalty. So the message there is make sure you're using it for qualified expenses. And if you reach age 65 and you still have money in an HSA, the penalty does not apply. In other words, if you spend your HSA on non-qualified expenses like, I don't know, groceries or a trip to Hawaii, it would simply be subject to income tax. You would not have to pay that hefty 20% penalty. So that's kind of cool because that rule turns an HSA into something that looks more like a retirement account if you own it long enough and still have a balance when you're age 65. That is a great reason to max it out every year, even if you don't expect to incur many medical expenses. So here's a quick review of how using an HSA saves you money. The first part is that your contributions are never taxed. An HSA is always funded with pre-tax dollars, whether you make contributions or whether your employer does so for you. You can make tax-deductible contributions to an HSA at any time during the year, even up to April 15 for the previous tax year. For 2019, you or your employer can contribute a total of up to $3,500 to an HSA if you have insurance just for yourself, or up to $7,000 if you have a family plan. And if you're over age 55, you or your employer can contribute an additional $1,000 to an HSA when you have either an individual or a family plan. So that kicks it up to $4,500 or $8,000. The second way an HSA saves you money is that your earnings are never taxed. Most HSAs pay interest, similar to a bank savings account. Plus, you typically can invest all or a portion of your HSA balance in investments like mutual funds. That allows your balance to grow even faster. But unlike a taxable bank account or a brokerage account, the interest and investment growth in an HSA is completely tax-free. And the last way an HSA saves money is that your withdrawals from the account are never taxed. So when you take money out of an HSA to spend it on qualified medical expenses or even to reimburse yourself if you paid out of pocket for a qualified medical expense, there are no taxes. And this is true whether you withdraw the original contributions, the interest income, or investment earnings from the account to pay for qualified healthcare expenses. And I want to reiterate that you can only use HSA funds to pay for current or future qualified unreimbursed medical expenses. So you don't want to put money in the account that you might need for everyday living expenses. Otherwise, if you have to take money out of it, those withdrawals are going to be subject to income tax, plus that hefty 20% penalty that I mentioned. In addition to these three major tax advantages, there are some more advantages. You can spend HSA funds on long-term care insurance at any age. You can also spend them on COBRA health insurance premiums after you leave a job. You can spend them on health insurance while you're receiving unemployment compensation. You can spend them on certain Medicare premiums after age 65. So there's some flexibility there with how you can use the money in an HSA. And if you want to review all of these rules and requirements that I'm talking about for health savings accounts, I would encourage you to download my one-page cheat sheet. It's a guide that you can get for free. If you want to get it, simply send me a text message. Text the phrase HSA tool, HSATOOL, no space, to the number 33444. This guide will explain all of the eligibility requirements, and it also gives you some of the best places you can go to get an HSA. I hope this show has been helpful and will help you navigate your health insurance benefits if and when you decide to leave a job. And before we go, I also want to invite you to sign up for a free, short, almost weekly email that I send out that's filled with tips, tools, and recommendations that I think you might enjoy. If you want to get it, simply send a text to that same number, 33444, text the phrase "get updates" with no space. And if you don't text, you can visit lauradadams.com to sign up for the newsletter or download the HSA tool. Also, this is my last reminder that the summer discounts for my online classes are going to expire very, very soon on June 21st. If you're interested in enrolling in either Get Out of Debt Fast, a proven plan to stay debt-free forever, or Build Better Credit, the ultimate credit score repair guide, or heck, why not both of them? You can get 85% off if you text the phrase summer money, SUMMERMONEY with no space, to that same number, 33444. Take a moment to invest in yourself and your financial education to take your money skills to the next level. And if you have a question or comment, I would love you to leave me a voicemail message. Just call 302-364-0308. Money Girl is produced by the audio wizard Steve Rickyberg with editorial support from Karen Hertzberg. If you've been enjoying the podcast, do me a quick favor. please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. That's an easy, free way for you to give back and show your support. It also will help new listeners find us. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at quickanddirtytips.com. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, here's to living a richer life.